वृंदावन धाम की जाए, नवद्वीप धाम की जाए, भक्ति देवी की जाए, तुलसी महारानी की जाए, जमुना देवी की जाए, गंगा देवी की जाए, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin iti namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarar Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Namaiva Kivalam Klu Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I am going to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the ripened fruit of the tree known as Vedas. Your Indian Hindu culture is based on the Vedas. The Vedas contain all knowledge, material and spiritual. These Vedas come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was delivered to us first through the Creator, Lord Brahma. And this Vedic knowledge is disseminated throughout the ages by means of six different kinds of avatars. So sometimes God comes himself personally to give us instruction, or sometimes he sends his confidential servants. Those confidential servants are known as sadhus, gurus, prophets. Many words are used. But the message is one. One should live one's life according to the laws of God, the Vedas. So now, considering all the Vedas to be a tree of knowledge, on a tree there is fruits and flowers. Take for instance, India's favorite fruit. What is it? Mango. No argument about that. So, there is this tree of knowledge and it has mango fruit. But everybody knows that the best mango fruit is the ripened fruit. Now it just so happens that the parrot with its beak picks at the mango fruit and by mystic power now that mango fruit becomes more sweet if that's imaginable. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened mango fruit of this tree of knowledge, which we call Vedas. Now, who speaks Srimad Bhagavatam? Shuka Dev. Shuka means parrot. Meaning, the way Shukadeva Goswami speaks to Maharaj Parikshit, the already sweet Bhagavatam became more sweet. My job is to try to make it even more sweeter. Will you bless me and empower me? If you want me, then you have to chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. Thank you for your ashirvad. Thank you. So my lecture tonight is entitled, What is the Perfection of Religion? I'm going to recite to you three shlokas which are found very early in Srimad Bhagavatam. This first one is an invocation. Narayanam namaskritya narang chaiva narottamam deving sarasating vyasam tato jayam udirayet. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest. What is that conquest? The conquest of samsara. The conquest of the repeated cycle of birth and death. Human life is meant to conquer that. End it. Stop it. Bhagavatam is the very means of conquest. One should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan. Everybody say. Whenever I see this word Narayan, I am reminded of the story of Ajamila. Because Ajamila chanted this name of Narayan at the time of death, and he was saved from going to hell. He was about to go to hell, but because he said those four syllables, Narayana. Ah, very good. Excellent. Very good. I have somebody there paying attention. Good. By simply uttering those four syllables, he was saved from going to hell. One should offer respectful obeisances unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being. He's another avatar of Krishna, who is doing penances and austerities to teach us by example. Unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So we have done the invocation. Muneya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir loka mangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. So now I will give you the background story of these verses that I'm speaking on. The speaker of these verses tonight is Suta Goswami. His father was the great Romaharshan Suta, who was killed by Lord Balaram with a blade of kusha grass. The benedictions that Romaharshan Suta had received from the sages of Naimisharanya were thus transferred to his son, Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami was in the audience when Srimad Bhagavatam was first spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit. And Shukadeva said at that time, this Suta Goswami will later speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Suta Goswami is very special. The sages gathered at Naimi Sharanya have asked him 6 questions. And this is where he begins to answer those 6 questions the sages of Naimi Sharanya have asked him. The sages of Naimi Sharanya are headed by, what's his name? I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. Thank you. May Krishna bless you. Shaunaka Rishi. Shaunaka Rishi is the leader of all the sages gathered at Naimisharanya. Why have they gathered? They gathered very early in the age of Kali. The age of Kali began when Krishna left planet Earth 5,000 years ago. The sages, knowing how bad Kali Yuga is, are performing a sacrifice for 1,000 years. You can imagine. You sit in different homas, right? They last 1 hour, 2 hours. They're doing a sacrifice that lasts 1,000 years. But because they're sages, they can do that. They're not ordinary people like me and you. So they are doing 1,000 years of sacrifice for us, for the benefit of the people who live in this age, Kali Yuga. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. So Suta is thanking them for the nice questions, because I've done a lot of lectures in my life. I've done thousands of lectures. Sometimes you get nice questions. Sometimes you get silly questions. So, he's appreciating, thank you for the nice questions you have asked me. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna. That's why it's said in the Sanskrit, Krishna samprashno. Relevant questions in relationship to Krishna. That is the goal of life. What is the first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. I would say, Atato Krishna. Like that. Jigyasa. That the purpose of human life is to inquire about the science of God, the science of Krishna. So here, Sutta says, your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna, and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. That's another aspect. We should not think Krishna is some sectarian thing. Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, is not sectarian. Yes, here in America, they think like that. They all think, oh, you are doing some Hindu thing. No. Questions about Krishna is of universal importance and application. I'm living proof. I was not born Hindu. I was not raised Hindu. Why am I after Krishna? Because Krishna is for everybody. Does the sun belong to America? Does the sun belong to Russia? The sun belongs to everybody. God is for everybody. Krishna is for everybody. And according to Lord Chaitanya says, love of Krishna is in everyone's heart. American, Indian, African, whatever kun, Republican, everybody has love of Krishna in their heart, lying dormant. On that basis, I can go anywhere in the world and talk about Krishna, because I know in their heart, if I'm expert enough, if I'm sincere, I can touch that dormant love of Krishna in the heart. That was Srila Prabhupada's genius. That he could go to New York City and preach to the Westerners, the hippies, and turn them into happies. Turn them in, because he knew love of Krishna is in their hearts. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. If you have read Bhagavad Gita, or should I say, you should read Bhagavad Gita. But if you have learned anything in Bhagavad Gita, the first thing you learn, you're not your body. You are soul. So that's the self, the soul. Sutta Goswami is saying the soul will only be satisfied when the level of questions is in connection with Krishna. As long as the questions are on the stock market, the politics, the household affairs, you can ask so many questions. At the end of the day, you won't be satisfied. Just like you all have experience, I have experience. You watch the news, don't you, at some point? Right? You want to know what's happening. What did they destroy now? What stupid law did they make now? You want to find out what's going on in the world. Who killed? Usually there's a murder, right? There's a scandal. There's some bad news. But you want to find out. So if you sit through the whole program, after you hear the news, are you happy? No. Because it becomes more and more reinforced. This world's going to hell. Isn't that what happened? Yes. So Sutta Goswami is saying, your questions will only lead to satisfaction when those questions are about Krishna. Now we get to the verse that I want to really dive into. That was the preamble to the Constitution. First, I have to get your attention. Then I can deliver the 1-2 punch. And besides, most people don't come till after 6 anyway. So you have to get them ready. All right, if you're ready to proceed, repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And on the internet we have 13 devotees. Let's say Hari Bol to the 13 devotees. All right. So Sutta Goswami now will answer the first of the 6 questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bhagavatam. There are 18,000 verses. Some of them are very, very dear to me. This is one of my favorite verses. That's why I picked this verse. I'm in a good mood. It's nice today, right? It rained during the week. It was good. You've paid your taxes. You're done. So now it's time to take a sigh of relief. Please repeat. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhok shaje ahaituki yap pratiyata yayatma suprasidati. Please repeat. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. So that's the first half. These Sanskrit slokas come in two pods, 2 feet. So it's two. So that was the first one. Please repeat. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Now, in the Sanskrit, Sutta Goswami used the word vai, certainly. In other words, according to Sutta Goswami, this is a done deal. There's no argument on this. Certainly. Pungsang, for mankind. Religion is for the human beings. There's no religion for the animals, the birds. They don't have religion. Religion is the distinguishing characteristic between civilized life and barbaric life. No religion, then you don't have human society. What do you have? Yes. Dvipada Pashu. Two-legged animals who go by the name man. So, religion is necessary for a human society. For a civilized. So, Pungsan, mankind. Now, Paro Dharma. You all know what is Dharma. Prabhupada explains Dharma as that which sustains you. Or another definition, Dharma means intrinsic quality. Sugar. Can sugar be sour? No. Its Dharma is to be sweet. Chili. Its dharma is to be hot. And you like that chili in your subjis, don't you? Yes. Water has to be wet. Everything has its dharma, its intrinsic nature. According to Bhagavatam, the intrinsic nature of the soul is service. Service. Servant. Now, you all know, or should I say, you should know, Krishna's final instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam. Give up all Dharma and just surrender to me. Dharma also means, as it is translated in this verse, because Sanskrit words can have different meanings according to usage. The word Atma has 7 different meanings, one of which is the body, by the way. Body, intelligence, soul. Sometimes Atma refers to the mind, even in Bhagavad Gita. So the word is used and you have to know the context. Here, dharma means occupation. Everybody has an occupation. I was speaking about this last night. If you're a man, you have duties or occupations. Woman, children, human being means you have responsibilities, you have an occupation. Now, para, the supreme, the topmost, the sublime. So Sutta Goswami is saying, alright, there are so many occupations, there are so many responsibilities, but Sutta Goswami is saying, there's one that's supreme, that's topmost. What is it? Yato bhaktir adhoksajay. Adhoksajay is referring to God. That's one of God's names. Those of you who chant Vishnu Sahasranam, there are 1,000 names of God. So one of those names is adhoksajay. Everybody say? Adhoksajay means God cannot be discovered in the laboratory. God is not discovered by your mental concoction. I will think up God. Adhoksaja means, He is beyond your independent scientific verification process. No. God reveals Himself, and that's the only way you know that He exists. He tells you He exists in Bhagavad Gita, in the Vedas, or in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are the historical accounts of God's appearance. Such as, a few weeks ago, you celebrated Ram Navami, yes? So that's not mythology. That's not a story, that is history. It actually occurred. And was very nice. Some years ago, NASA took a picture. And that picture revealed, you could see the bridge to Lanka. Yes, Ram actually appeared. And the historical account is narrated in Ramayana. So, God reveals Himself. Otherwise, He is beyond the perception of your mind and senses to figure out on your own. It doesn't work that way. He's not going to show up on Jay Leno's show. He appears on His terms, not man's terms. I've heard it, you've heard it. The agnostic. What is the agnostic? The agnostic is, I'll believe in God when He shows Himself to me. Right? The atheist says, whether God exists or not, I don't care. I don't want Him. That's the atheist. Either the atheist says, God is just something made up by less intelligent people. Or even if there is a God, phooey, He's going to have to fight me. Guess what? Who wins? But the agnostic is a little better. The agnostic says, I'm not saying there is and isn't. When He shows Himself, then I'll vote for Him. The theist is the person who accepts. And how does he accept? He has complete faith in the Shastras, in the Vedas. As I said, unless God personally appears, the only other way for verification is the Shastras. So, adhoksaja. Everybody say one more time. So, Sutta Goswami is saying, the perfection of religion, the topmost occupation, is bhakti. Ooh. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? 3 times. You want to see me? What is the way? Bhakti. You want to know me? What does he say? Yeah, bhakti, same word. You want to understand me? Bhakti. Says it in the 8th chapter. I do my homework, boys and girls. He says it in the 8th chapter. He says it at the end of the 11th chapter. And he says it in 18th chapter. There is no wiggle room here. Three times consistent. Oh, and not only that, only, he uses the word only by devotional service, by bhakti. So Suta Goswami is not going to contradict anything that Krishna says. The supreme occupation is that men do, or women, humanity does bhakti to this Adhoksaja. So who is Adhoksaja? Adhoksaja is Krishna, or his direct personal expansions, God himself. Now, once that's established by Suta Goswami, he qualifies it. Such devotional service, he uses two adjectives, ahoitaki, apratihata, because there is pure bhakti, there is mixed bhakti. First, let me describe mixed bhakti. Mixed bhakti means, all right, I will render some service to Adhoksaja, but I want something out of it. I want to do some little business with Adhoksaja. I want something. That's called mixed bhakti. It's mixed with karma, jnana, or yoga. Now, the kind of bhakti that is being described by Suta Goswami is pure bhakti, not mixed. For instance, you all know, Shuddha Ghee, right? Or, I've told the story many times, when I first went to India in 1975, the temple sent me with a bucket. I was in Vrindavan. The temple said, go to this place and get milk for the deities. They gave me a stainless steel bucket. And the temple said, but when you go to the cowman, go with him and see that the milk is coming directly from the cow and nothing is being added like water. Because you know better than me. Right? So that was my, say, wow, really? Yes. You want pure ghee, pure milk. Right? So bhakti should be pure. Pure bhakti is described by these two words. Ahoituki, apratiyata. Ahoituki means no motive, causeless, no business. It is done out of love only. Before the stage of love, the bhakti is done on the basis of duty, the order of the spiritual master. In the beginning stages of pure bhakti, there's no love, but one surrenders and simply obeys the instructions of the spiritual master. By doing that, one comes to the stage, we were talking about this morning, spontaneous bhakti. So causeless, there's no motive. Best example, mothers. You took care of your children causelessly. You were not taking care of your babies and charging your babies every time you changed the diapers. You were not expecting anything. You took care of your children out of love for your children. That is the closest thing we have for understanding this causeless. There's no reason the mother takes care of the child, even at the mother's own expense, simply out of love for the child. The mother will sacrifice everything for the child. Am I right, mothers and grandmothers? Yes, I know. I know it from my wife. Yes. It is God's arrangement. That's why Mother's Day is so important. Yes. Actually, there should be Mother's Year. Yes. And, if I may go to the field of politics, it's going to be the mothers who determine who is the next president. That is my prediction. If you've been watching the news, it is going to be the mothers who determine our next president. He's going to lose. Are you kidding? You've been watching the news. Anyway, let's get back on track. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So causeless. Pure bhakti is causeless. It is done, as I said, in the initial stage, simply out of duty, and then gradually it becomes spontaneous love. I give the example all the time. I like to embarrass Gadadhar. You don't have to offer him anything. If there is a chance to do kirtan, is he there? Yes. Right? Did anyone, who painted these deities? Did he get an extra bonus in his salary? No, he did it out of love. Right? So, that is actually the stage where you want to serve Krishna out of love, spontaneously. The other word, apratihata, unbroken. Same thing Krishna says in chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita. Mangchayau viabhicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samatityaitan, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That if you want to transcend the modes of nature, your service to Krishna has to be 24/7, 365, 108. Life after life after life. No check. Queen Kunti. When Queen Kunti was praying to Krishna, Krishna was about to leave Hastinapur. He was about to get on the chariot to go back to Dwaraka. Kunti stopped him and offered prayers. One of the prayers Kunti said, "My Lord, let my attraction to you be like the Ganges." When the Ganges is coming out of Gangotri, it's coming out very, very powerful, right? So, the bhakti that Kunti is talking about, let my love for you flow unobstructed towards the sea. Unobstructed. So these are the two words which define pure bhakti. Causeless and unbroken. Last word, yayatma suprasediti. This is the only thing that's going to completely satisfy the soul, the self, the real you. Anything else, you're always going to feel something insufficient. This is why sense gratification, material sense gratification, is described in the Bhagavad Gita. What does Krishna say? Limited, temporary, and if you get more and more into material sense gratification, dushparain analenacha. It's never satisfied and burns like fire. Because material sense gratification, the Sanskrit word is kam, lust. And Bhagavad Gita is very, very clear on this. There is no such thing as satisfying lust. You know, you've done the homa, right? The fire is burning. When you say swaha, the priest pours more ghee, you throw the grains, what happens? More fire. If you supply more wood and more ghee, you can go, like they're doing, for 1,000 years. These sages of Naimisharanya are doing a fire sacrifice for 1,000 years. So they must have a big supply of wood, lots of ghee. So as long as you're supplying, that won't go out, will it? So lust, material sense gratification, is the same way. What does Maya, illusion, say? See, here's, you gotta watch Maya all the time. Maya says, no. Try it one more time. Let's do one more sense gratification. I promise you, you'll be happy. That's what Maya does. She promises you. Come on. I know you weren't happy last time, and the 1,000 times before that, but one more time, let's go. Like the drunkard. The drunkard thinks, this is my drink that is really going to really satisfy me. Nobody goes to a bar and has one drink. Doesn't work that way. Or the person who becomes addicted to cigarettes, right? One cigarette. After a while, number two. And then before you know it, it's a habit. It's a habit. All of material sense gratification is simply a habit. Whether it's sex or... There are so many things on the television, right? How many advertisements for Weight Watchers or this diet or this or this or this? Why? Because people can't control the tongue and the belly. And somebody's saying, yeah, you should talk. I agree. I'm guilty. You got me there. So, in one sense, material life is simply pick your poison. Pick your addiction. There's a reason for that. It's being stated in this verse because until you get to the stage of this pure devotional service, bhakti, nothing is going to satisfy you. And the problem is you want to be satisfied. It's your nature. That's the problem. The impersonalist school simply tells you, fast. Diet, deny. How long can you do that? Won't work. You need the positive program. The positive program is the program of bhakti. That will satisfy. Lord Chaitanya says that this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra gives you a taste of the full nectar for which you are always anxious. Si Si Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. Yes, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra gives you a taste of the full nectar for which you are always anxious. That's why we stress, and that's why it is the motto. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kivalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. So, does anybody have a question they would like to ask? Usually, Rambai is good for the first question. Unless I've spoken so eloquently that all your questions were already answered. Do you have anything, Rambai? Can't help it. Go ahead, please. Yes. I will give you the simple definition of bhakti according to Bhagavad Gita, because I could answer this question quoting various authorities. There's even one book, Narada Bhakti Sutras. Narada gives the definition of bhakti quoting various acharyas, and Narada says actually all of their statements are correct. Let's start with Krishna. How does Krishna define bhakti? Well, several verses come to mind. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishisi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. So, topmost bhakti, always think of Krishna. Bow down to Krishna. Worship Krishna. Or, the preliminary kindergarten way to do bhakti. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat jahosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasya konteya, tat karushra madarpanam. This is an easy way anyone could start. Whatever you do, offer it to Krishna. Whatever you eat, offer it to Krishna. Whatever you want to do, some austerity, do it for Krishna. All right? So here is from Bhagavad Gita. Now let me give you Narada. If Narada was sitting here and you had asked Narada Muni, he would have quoted this verse. Narada would have said that Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam. I'm forgetting the first two lines. The first two lines is I can't remember the Sanskrit, but basically it means first you become free from designations. Become free at what are those designations? I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm American, I'm Republican, I'm Democrat, I'm professor. These are designations. So the first thing you do is miss or stop identifying with these material designations. Then, tat padat vena nirmalam. Live a pure existence. What is a pure existence? No sin. No meat eating. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no Las Vegas. Pure existence. Now, the key line. Rishikena, with your senses. So you have 11 senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. Hands, legs, throat, rectum, genital. And then the internal sense, the mind. With your 11 senses, Rishikesha Sevanam. Serve the master of the senses. The master of the senses is behind that curtain. He's in your heart. He's all pervasive. He has millions of names. That would be Narada's definition of bhakti. What does Prahlad say? Prahlad told his father, the Hiranyakashipu demon, right? Shravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmandavedinam iti pungsarpita vishnau bhaktischain nava lakshana kriyeti bhagavati adha tanmanye ditam uttamam. So, Prahlad says, This is the topmost platform of education. You're doing the first one right now. You are hearing about Adhoksaja, about God. You've already begun. Anyone who's here, you've begun. Then chant, remember, pray, worship, serve, become his friend, and ultimately, completely surrender. So I've given you several definitions of bhakti. If you ask Lord Chaitanya, you know what he will say? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Just chant. Just chant the holy name of God. You're doing bhakti. Let's all chant one time, everybody. One more time. One more time. Do we have any more questions? Okay. I am done. Oh, you have another question? You want to hear? Okay, what do you want to hear? Okay, let's go back to Bhagavad Gita. Okay? You'll notice in chapter 12, the question that Arjuna asks, should I worship you personally or impersonally? That's the beginning of chapter 12. Krishna says, my opinion, you should worship my personal form. After that discussion, Krishna gives what I call the option program. In verses 8 through, I forget exactly, but there's a series of verses. He starts off at the topmost. Krishna says, okay, think of me. Alright, if you can't do that, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti. That means you accept a spiritual master, and you begin the process of hearing and chanting. That's basically what the sadhana bhakti is. Okay? Now Krishna knows that not everybody can do that. So then Krishna says, okay, if you can't do that, then you should become renounced, detached from sense gratification. He says, if you can't do that, alright, try to become detached from the fruits of your work. If you can't do that, try to do meditation. If you can't do that, try to acquire some knowledge. If somebody hooks into one of Krishna's options, at some point, they will reach the perfectional stage. So Krishna's already giving you option plans. Pick your option. I like Lord Chaitanya's option plan very good. Chant, dance, take prasad. It's worked since 1973. It's still working. I'm here, am I? So I did something right. Something must have worked. So I have full faith in Krishna's option plan. So, something is better than nothing. See, here's the pitfall. Like you said, it's not easy. Okay, so somebody will then say, it's not easy, then forget about it. No. You can do something. You can hear about, is it so difficult to hear about Krishna? Is that so difficult? All right. It's not difficult to chant, but someone may say, okay, I don't like it. All right, you don't like the chant? Come to the RT. Or, I forgot one of the options, and you will like this, all the board members, you will like this. One of the options is you work for Krishna. So if you don't like to chant, you can work for Krishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, therefore, people should give their money to Krishna. You want to build new temple, right? There you go. You can begin. Somehow or other, you can begin. You know better than most people. Who wrote Ramayana? Yeah. He was a murderer. How did Narada trick him? Yes. That Mara became, and that Ram became the Ramayana. Yes. So, my mother used to always say, where there's a will, there's a way. That's the key. Now the question becomes, how do I get the will? You get the will two ways. Pray to Krishna and get the blessings of devotees who have the will. Pray, you have to ask for it. So I was asked a question yesterday by one of my students in Santiago. She listened to I recently gave a katha on Sudama. So her question was, why didn't Krishna give Sudama the wealth? Why did he have to wait till he was old? Why did Sudama get all his wealth when he was an old man? My answer to her was, Sudama never asked for it. He was content. He was happy. It was only because his wife sent him. And even when he went, he didn't ask for anything. There was no... Sudama didn't sit down with Krishna. Okay, look, Krishna, I need this. No. Yes, Krishna knows everything. But Krishna could see Sudama is quite happy in his poverty. He's already Krishna conscious. Okay? Krishna does not interfere with your free will. Especially bhakti. You have to ask for it. You have to initiate. My Lord, please. That is the whole meaning of this Hare Krishna mantra. O energy of the Lord, O Radha, O Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. You have to ask for it. So, you have to get to the point where you at least realize that I should ask for it. That you only get by associating with devotees and hearing from saintly persons. Then the day will come. You know what? I'm ready. I want it. And when you want it, then Krishna will... Oh, you want it? Here you go. And you got to be careful. Because when you want it, it comes. Like Prabhupada used to say, Krishna with his 10 hands, you won't be able to capture everything he's giving you. So he will give you so much when you're ready. When any of us are ready. All right, let's chant the Maha Mantra one time. So keep coming to the temple, keep hearing the katha about Krishna, and pray. Pray for it. Then you will get it. Okay? Thank you.